Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Breathe Again Magazine, the radio show, a moment of hope, inspiration, and solutions. Listen to real-life testimonies from women and men just like you who have gone from victim to victorious. Sit back, listen, connect in the chat room, and share the show with a friend. Here's your host, author, and motivational speaker, Nicole Cleveland.
Hey, 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 and welcome to Breathe Again Magazine, the radio show. Yes, I'm your host. I'm Nicole Cleveland. Now, we know that Breathe Again Magazine is a moment of hope, inspiration, and solutions. We come to you to just encourage you and motivate you by bringing on real-life testimonies, people, women, and men, just like you, just like me, that have gone through the fire, came out the fire, and now are reaching back to encourage you. We don't want anyone to feel like they are alone in their struggle. We don't want anyone to feel like they're by themselves, on the verge of giving up, on contemplating suicide, walking away from the church and the Word and God. We want to be here for you. So that's what we do. We do it for you, not for ourselves. And we do it to glorify God in all that we do. We want to glorify God. And I'm just so excited. And you know that's my buzzword every week. I get excited because I get to come back to you and I get to share. I get to share other people and share women and men that have really inspired me. And that's what I do. I bring back people that have inspired me because I know if they've inspired me, I know they'll inspire you. And we all know that God is no respecter of persons. And if he did it for them, he will definitely do it for you too. So, okay, let's cut out all this small talk. You know what? We want you to log on. We want you to stay connected with us. If you're a new listener, we want to say, hey, thank you so much for logging on, listening to us. If you are listening to the archive version, thank you so much for taking your time, going in, clicking, because there's thousands and thousands of shows out there, thousands and thousands of websites out there, but you chose to spend a little bit of time with us, so we are so grateful for that. Connect with us online, breatheagainmagazine.org or .com. Follow us on Twitter, at breatheagain. Connect with us on Facebook. I don't say, like, be a fan, because I don't like that. Don't be a fan. I want you to be a friend. Be a friend and be connected with me. Don't follow us on Twitter. Just be a friend. Be connected with us, because we're all in it together. Facebook.com/breatheagainmag. And if you are someone that has a powerful testimony, if you know that God has done something miraculous for you, if you know that it was nobody but God that did it, I want to interview you. I want you to connect with me. Email me at radioshow@breatheagain.org. That's radioshow@breatheagain.org. I have to take some time out today and thank my network members. We are growing. We are growing. We are growing. Our community is growing, and I'm so ever grateful for that. The Friends Network is men and women that are in business and in ministry that support Breathe Again. They support the works that we do by becoming a network member. Network membership is like $50, and we promote their works in our newsletters and online, and we just connect with them and do what we're to do as friends and fellow members of the community, you know, fellow members of God, actually. So that's what we do. We promote your works as well. So if you're a business leader, or if you are in ministry, if you're an author, if you have a product or a service, we want to connect with you. Become a Friends Network member. Support us so we can continue to reach men and women that feel like they're alone, that feel like they're by themselves. We can't do what we do without you. So we need you. We really do need you. There's a link on the actual page that you can click and become a member. So do that for us. Do it. Do it right now. So look, today's show. We are going to get into today's show because it is just going to knock your socks off, and it's really going to bless you. It's going to bless you because the first segment I have author Carla Allen, K-E Allen, on the line, and she's going to talk about her new book. It is Conversations of a Watchman, Prayers to Frame Your Prophetic Destiny. Now, I was reading this book, and I began to weep. Now, she's in our first segment. I'll tell you why I began to weep in a few minutes. She's in our first segment, and she's going to talk about the book and talk about prayer, and we may be praying the wrong way. We may be praying the wrong prayer. So she's going to jump on board and talk to us about her book and a little bit about her journey. In our second segment, we have Venus Mason Theus. She's out of Detroit, Michigan, and she's coming on board because she has an event coming up on this Saturday. It is behind closed doors. It's for married women only. You know, it is really talking about those things that we don't talk about as married women, and they're going to get real and they're going to get raw, and she's coming on board to talk about the event on Saturday, and she'll be here in Richmond, Virginia, for our Aspiring Writers Workshop next month, so she's going to talk a little bit about that as well. All right, so let's get into it. I hope everyone's Thanksgiving was blessed. Mine was super-duper blessed. My mama was here, and I ate so much. Lord have mercy, I ate so much. So I hope and I pray that you made memories. You made memories that will last a lifetime, because you don't know if the same people will be with you next Thanksgiving. So we need to really capitalize on the moments and the times that we have with our loved ones. So we had a fabulous time. We had a good time with our family, so, and I hope you did too. All right, let's get into our show today. Now, K.E. Allen, she is the author of Conversations of a Watchman, Prayers to Frame Your Prophetic Destiny. Now, she's going to be on the line with us. She's already on the line, and she's going to talk about this book. And when I was reading this book, it made me weep. Because it was like a clarion call for believers, and I get all misty-eyed even now because my spirit recognized with the words and what she wrote in that book. And I know that book was God-inspired. It had to be, because when I was reading it, it was basically, let me go over here because I love the power of the internet that I can actually go in here, because I wrote a review for her book, and, oh, God, it was just, it's the bomb. It really is the bomb. I don't know if, people that are deep understand that, but it is the bomb. I love it, love it, love it. When I was reading it, it says, it's a practical guide that can be used for intercession and effective prayer. Conversations of a Watchman, Prayers to Frame Your Prophetic Destiny is a clarion call to believers. Will you stand in the gap and intercede, or will you give up on others and yourself? From the moment I started to read, my spirit identified with the words and tears rolled down my face. I could literally see the Lord standing on a rooftop asking the questions that were posed in the book. Will you answer the call to intercede for others? Will you be the one to convince God to show mercy as Moses did? Will you be the one to pray for your nation to experience true deliverance? And this last one just really got me. It was, how long are you willing to intercede until you see Christ born in others? Oh, my goodness, because I saw it. It was like I saw the Lord, and he was just shouting it out, saying, hello, wake up, wake up. So I'm going to bring her on the line right now, because I'm going to stop talking because I'll get all weepy and misty-eyed and I tell you. So, Carla, are you there?
I am here, Nicole. How are you?
I am great, great, great. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Yes, I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to just hear what God has to say.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Well, why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about who you are? Who is K.E. Allen?
Yeah, I like to say that really I have a very strong legacy of prayer in my family, and that's why the Lord really led me to write a book in this area, because I have a strong legacy. My grandmother, my grandfather, my mother, and my dad, and even before them, they were very powerful intercessors. My grandmother, I think among all of them, I think she influenced me the most because we grew up in the Baptist church, and she was a very, it wasn't culture for a woman to be a minister in the church mm-hmm. at that time. It's much more acceptable now, but it wasn't at that time. But that didn't stop her from ministering and praying for people and seeing them come to their place of deliverance. So I saw her minister and live her life helping other people through prayer and intercession, and it impacted my life in such a dramatic way. And so I come from a very strong legacy of intercessors and strong men and women of God. So that's who I am.
Yeah. When did you start? When did you know? I know in your book you say when you were in college, you would have such a strong urge to pray and you would begin to weep and you would run across the campus and then just intercede on behalf of others. When did you know that you were that intercessor?
Yeah, it was during that time, at that time in my life when it was occurring, I really didn't understand what was going on because I had never really felt the weight of God's presence in the degree that I had at that time when I was at Oral Roberts University. I had never felt his presence so tangible in my life. And so in that moment, God brought a person alongside of me, and she just began to explain really what was going on because she was an intercessor. So she saw what was happening in my life, and I was sharing because I was like, I'm not sure what's going on. I go to eat, but I can't eat, and I just wanted to just cry and pray out. And then as that began to happen, then I began to literally know things about people that I was seeing, as I was praying, I would have these many visions appear before me, and I would see things and know things about people, and I would begin to pray. And at that time, God was really birthing or developing the gifts of the Spirit in my life, too. So, someone came alongside, and God sent that person to, and I like to say, really to help me birth the ministry of intercession in my life. But it wasn't until I looked back that I realized that it really was him calling me to that. I don't think it wasn't until later in life that I realized that I had a call to be an intercessor.
Okay, because there is a difference from being an intercessor and then having a call to be an intercessor.
Right, or being anointed.
Right.
And anointing is a buzzword. But it basically what an anointing is that you have a special grace or ability to accomplish something. So, yes, there's a special grace on my life to intercede.
Yeah. Well, talk to me a little bit about writing the book. I know you wrote the book because you're an intercessor and you have been that way for a long time. But what was the need? What was the desire? What made you actually sit down, put pen to paper, and put this in place? Did you see things that were not going right, prayers going unanswered, people just doing things the wrong way and not having an understanding? What made you write the actual book?
And you said it in the beginning. You were saying that this book is by divine inspiration, and it absolutely is. Every component of the book, God, basically just breathed the words, to me. How the book was composed, I have a habit of when I'm studying and when I'm praying that I've developed over the years when I'm trying to meditate on the word and get a particular principle in my life or if God has revealed something to me, then I'll begin to pen it as a prayer.
Okay.
It's just something that the Lord has led me to do over the years. And so over the years, I began to accumulate a number of prayers, and some of them are situational because maybe I was going through something or maybe I saw a situation in the ministry where I served or maybe my family, I saw a situation or maybe somebody made me aware, and then I would begin to search the scripture. Well, what does God say about that? And then I would begin to allow the Holy Spirit to direct me to what to pray, and then I would pin it at the prayer. And some of them are words of knowledge. And so one morning in prayer, the Lord said, I want you to put all this together in a book. And I said, okay. And so as I began to yield to him, then step by step, he began to unfold the different pieces, because when I had compiled all the prayers in myself, I felt like it wasn't complete. Mm-hmm. And I said, something's missing. And I have a number of prayer books that I use, you know, as springboards in prayer. That's what I like to say. Mm-hmm. But I felt, and those are sufficient because I use them, but I felt like for me to just enclose prayers in a book was not sufficient. Because one of the things I asked the Lord for, I asked him for a mantle to teach people to pray. Mm-hmm. And so with that, then the Lord began to direct me. He says, okay, you're going to have to put instruction in there so that mm-hmm. people can learn to do it for themselves. And because that's how I learned to pray. I listened to my grandmother. I listened to my parents and other people that I thought prayed, you know, mightily. And so I would listen. I'd repeat their prayers. But mm-hmm. at some point, I had to begin to develop my own conversation with God based on my relationship with him. Mm-hmm. And so that's what you have in the book. You have instruction on, you know, how to be effective in prayer and how to get results. Because I think a lot of people get discouraged because they don't get results. And right. so with that, you can use the prayers that are contained within the book as a springboard, but I've included scriptures and I've included spaces where you can write and you can begin to frame your destiny, like I said, by the word of God, because it says the worlds were framed by the word.
Right.
And so that's how we frame our worlds too. We frame it by the word of God. And so I think this is such a tool that can assist you and direct you to be more effective and to see results when you pray.
Absolutely, absolutely. Talk to me about the watchman. Who is the watchman?
Okay, so the watchman, in short, is the person that is responsible for framing prophetic destiny spoken by the counsel of God. So basically what the watchman's anointing or the grace that tends to be on a watchman's life is that they're able to see the enemy approaching from a distance, okay? Mm-hmm. And they're able to warn the people of God. And the watchman is just another a type of intercessor because there are different types of intercessors. So the watchman is one particular type of intercessor. So the watchman's job is just what it says. He watches or she watches over a people, over a ministry. It might be over a family. It could be over a city. So it depends on what God gives you as an assignment. So as a watchman, for instance, where I serve, I serve as a watchman. That means that I pray for my pastor, I pray for my ministry, I pray for the people in leadership there. And oftentimes, wherever you are assigned or whoever you are assigned to, God will give you insight. He will let you know the things that people are struggling with. He will let you know the warfare that surrounds them so that you can help assist them through prayer. So that's mm-hmm. the job of the watchman, that he's able to see the strategies of the enemy far off. And so a lot of times, you know, God will deal with me in dreams and visions. So I'll know in advance things that are occurring. But it's not for me to go and say, oh, I know this or I know that.
Right.
But it is
right.
for me to pray and to offer intercession or to, I like to say, an intercessor is someone that touches God on the behalf of somebody else.
Right.
Yeah. So
that's good.
A little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Real good. Now, talk to me about the different watches, because in the book you have the first watch, the second watch. Talk to me about the differences.
Okay. So in the watches, there are different things that there are 8 watches.
Okay.
And I divided them into three watches. basically around the topics that are contained within the prayers. Mm-hmm. And so, but everybody, usually an intercessor will be assigned to a particular watch.
Mm-hmm.
And my watch is from 3 to 6. So usually the watches are 3 hours, but you have your day watches and you have your night watches.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're in 3-hour sequences. So you go from 3 to 6, and you go 6 to 9, and you go to 9 to 12. And so in the fourth watch, if you read in the Bible, a lot of times there were a lot of miracles that occurred in the fourth watch. So if you study the fourth watch, so I don't have time to talk about all 8 watches,
right, right.
But each watch has special things that occur, significant things that occur in that watch. So in the fourth watch, a lot of times there is a lot of spiritual activity in that watch. So it is a watch that you tend to release angels in that watch, because they are present more present than any other watch. And not that they're not in any other watch, they are, but there's a lot of spiritual activity in that watch. And then when you have the watch from midnight to 3, they often mm-hmm. say there's a lot of demonic activity in that particular watch, because that's when the enemy is doing what he does.
Mm-hmm,
and so,
mm-hmm.
yeah, there it's very detailed, very specific. I would have to come back to talk about the
different absolutely,
watches.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but I only, you know, divided this one into 3 watches.
3 watches.
And I think, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's very important, though, to discuss the differences between the different watches and what happens on the different watches. Now,
right.
Carla, talk to me about prayers that go unanswered and giving up on prayers, because that's what happens a lot of times. Well, we're praying for something and then we don't see it come to pass. It is not manifesting. So I guess in our minds we feel as though, well, it's not meant to be, and we just walk away and we give up. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, I blame the church for that
mm-hmm.
because I think that we tend to grab a hold of principles without realizing that in the scripture, you cannot just isolate one particular scripture or one particular thought, but the scripture says it's line upon line, precept upon precept
yes.
that causes things to be able to operate correctly, correct?
Right.
And so when you think about, there's a familiar passage, and I was thinking about this passage today, Mark 11 and 23 to 26, and because I think this is kind of a little bit of where the name it, claim it came from.
Mm, right,
which was, it got over into extremity in many ways. And so Mark 11 says, whatever you say,
mm-hmm.
Whoever shall say to the mountain, be removed and be cast
yes.
into the sea, and not doubt in his heart, and shall believe, those things which he says shall come to pass, and he shall have whatever he says.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And then it says, whatsoever things you desire when you
right.
pray, believe, and you'll receive them. And so I think we have extracted those words and saying, okay, whatever I say, then it's going to happen, but not really looking at the totality of the word and the principles that stand behind to make that happen. So here are some keys, and I'll talk about a few of them. And it says, whatsoever you say. Okay, but really it's whatever you say that is according to the will of God, because the scripture says that this is the confidence that we have, that he hears us.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
And if
he
hears
right.
us, then we know that he answers. But this is the confidence that we have if we ask anything according to his will.
Yes.
So I think a lot of times prayers go unanswered because we don't pray according to his will.
His will, right.
Yes. And when we pray according to his will, God is obligated.
Yes.
He's obligated to cause that thing to come to pass. And so then you say, well, how do I know the will of God? And so the simple answer is, okay, his word is his will. But even sometimes when I pray the word, people say my prayers still go unanswered. So there are a couple of things. Again, you have to know the right word. See, this is when you get into prophetic praying or prophetic intercession, is knowing to pray the right prayer at the right time, knowing to pray the right word at the right time. And we see David, when he's in situations, he's inquiring of the Lord, what should I do? Shall I pursue or shall I overtake? And so that's why the role of the Holy Spirit is really important in prayer.
Yeah.
Because it says in Romans 8 that the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. What are we weak in? We're weak because we don't know what to pray. It says that we don't know what to pray for as we should. It says, but the Holy Spirit, he assists us because he prays according to the will of the Father. So if in my prayers I allow the Holy Spirit to assist me, whatever the situation is, whether I've come into knowledge by interacting with you or I have come to know by the Spirit about a situation, in that moment, I don't just start, spouting off the word or just saying things or just inadvertently, but I stop and I ask the Holy Spirit, what is God's mind on this situation right here?
Yeah,
what should I pray? And so then when I get his mind, then I have full confidence that what I'm praying, I'm going, and that's just, I think a lot of times we don't have the confidence because we're just guessing at what we're praying about. But when I hear from God and he tells me, this is the scriptures you need to pray, these are the things you need to say, then I have full confidence and I don't care how long it takes to manifest. I know what God said.
That's right. That's right.
Right.
Yes. This is good. It's so good.
Yeah.
I tell you, it's so good. So good. Well, look, that has been our time. I knew it was going to go over. And those that are in the chat room or those that are on the computer, please call in because we are going to go over the time. And I know it cuts off on the computer, but call in 949-203-4709, 949-203-4709, because we do have a next segment. But Carla, I want you to give the listeners your contact information. How can they purchase your book and contact you?
Okay, you can purchase the print book. You can order from Amazon. There's also a Kindle edition you can order from Amazon. You can the book is available for purchase on Barnes & Noble as well. You can connect with me on Twitter at _rain, and that's REIGN. Or you can email any questions you have. Like I said, I'm available to help people learn how to have their own conversation with God. You can email me at customercare@freshrain.com. And then you can connect with me on Facebook at facebook.com/freshrainpublishing. And again, rain is REIGN.
Amen.
And so, Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you. I do appreciate you so much for stopping by the show today. I was so engulfed in the actual show that the time just really went by, and I knew that was going to happen. But thank you once again. We're going to have you back because I want to get into talking about those prayers and the worksheets that are in the book. But God bless you, woman of God, and thank you so much for what you're doing.
Thank you so much. It was my pleasure.
Amen, amen. All right, we are going to go right into our next segment. I'm not even going to take a commercial break. We are going to bring on the line Venus Mason Diaz. She is coming on board to talk about her event that she has coming up on Saturday and the actual writer's workshop next month. So, Venus, are you on the line?
Oh, yes, I'm here.
Hey, Venus, I'm so sorry.
Hi.
But, they be talking about the Word of God. I just be in awe.
I know. It was so rich. That was good. I was all in, too, so don't feel bad.
Oh, thank you, thank you. Well, look, Venus, I just want to thank you so much for listening. And listeners, if you're out there on the computer, dial 949-203-4709. Venus, talk to me about the event on Saturday. Before you even get into that, tell the listeners a little bit about who you are. They should know who you are by now, but who are you, girl?
Well, oh, shoot, I'm a little, I'm every woman. I think that song was made for me. I'm a wife of 27 years to the most wonderful, handsome, sexy man alive.
All right now.
Holy man of God, the priest of our household. We have a blended family. We have an extended family, meaning that in my household, there are four generations who actually live under this roof, not just come by for Thanksgiving dinner.
Wow.
So I'm also a caregiver. I'm a nana. We have in our blended family five adult offspring, and our adult offspring are all parents. So we have 15, that's 15 grandchildren.
Jesus.
And I know, I'm nana. And so on top of that, you know, I'm a writer. I've written my novel, Brown Paper Bag, a Christian novel, and also Pearls of Wisdom for Wives, How to Have a Joyfully Ever After Marriage. And my husband and I lead the family ministry at our home church, which is Greater Grace Temple in Detroit. And that's how I began to be a wife coach. That's what I do when I'm not baking cakes and wiping noses and so forth. I coach women who are either aspiring to become wives or who are wives and just want to live their married lives more joyfully. That's kind of Venus in a nutshell.
Amen, amen. Well, we're going to have you back on the show to talk about the author's workshop that you're going to be doing in Richmond. But today I really want to focus on your event on Saturday, Behind Closed Doors, Part 1. What exactly is that?
Well, it's a combination of a fellowship and a workshop, and it is exclusively for women who are married, not those who are living with a man and they've been together a bunch of years and they call each other my husband, my wife, my fiance. I'm talking about women with the ring and with the papers and who have a covenant between them, because within, in particular, the body of Christ, marriages are hurting. And wives are hurting, and wives are silent where they should be speaking up, and they are speaking up where they need to be listening. And so, you know, I have one or two things to say. So they come to me anyway, so I figure, why don't we just gather together and break a little bit of bread and just talk real. Let's close the doors, no men allowed, no babies, no kids, you know, just we wives, not like those folks on those on Bravo that call themselves wives and they married nothing.
Ain't married to nothing.
I have a problem with that.
Right.
That's why, as you know, I formed that group on Facebook, The Real Holy Wives of
That's right. And talk to us. It's going to be this Saturday at Greater Grace.
Yes, it's at Greater Grace. And it's at 10:30 in the morning this Saturday, and we're going to be there until, I'm saying, 1:30. We may not get out of there at 1:30 because we have a lot to talk about. I've gotten some emails, and we're kind of all over the place. And this one is, I just look at it as an icebreaker. That's why I call it part one, because I know that we can't talk about everything in one segment. I just want us to get together, and this is actually going to be a very intimate group. I think there's only going to be about a dozen of us, because one thing I have noticed, women who are already married are very, very reluctant to come together and talk about real issues. Now, those young ladies who I call them brides and wives in training, those young ladies, they love to come and pick my brain and you know, other women who are experienced in being married, but for various reasons, and I do understand, and I really don't have a problem when we have these intimate settings, but what's good is that we can have a series of them. So we're going to be talking about the real stuff. First of all, I've been married before. I call it my practice marriage.
Uh-huh.
And my husband was also married before. So one of the first things I'm going to be doing is sharing with the wives some of the things that I did that I now recognize contributed to the demise of my first marriage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course I thought I was all the way in the right. And
right.
It wasn't until, you know, several years later that I realized I contributed a lot to that. And, you know, if you don't know, you just don't know. And a lot of things that happen in marriage is because we often don't have a reference point, a healthy reference point to draw from. We go into these marriages and we've been watching television and looking at magazines and movies and so forth. So we think we're going to be like those folks. And in my time with this, you know, as I say, practice marriage, and I can say that jokingly, he and I are cordial, so, you know, I'm not
right
at all. But, you know, that was in the 70s, in the late 70s, and I still had in my mind that kind of Ozzy and Harriet, you know, kind of marriage. And I didn't know a lot, even though I had been brought up in a home where I was actually brought up by my grandparents, and, you know, they were loving and so forth. So I figured everybody wanted to be married. I really did. I really did. So, you know, I went in making some mistakes, trying to make him fit into a mold that God didn't call him to be in. You know, we can't make these assumptions that because somebody is a certain gender that they're automatically going to be right for you. Well, he's a man. I'm a woman. Okay, bam. We got you know, we got the makings of a marriage. I didn't know any better. So, you know, it went from there. So I'll be talking about some specific mistakes that I made in my first marriage. I'm also going to tell people, and this is an eyebrow raiser, I'm going to tell the ladies, I'm going to teach them how to win an argument every single time.
Right.
But the answer will surprise those because they probably have some preconceived notion that you probably have, and so do your listeners probably have. It's not what you think, and I can't tell you
right
now. That's probably going to be material in a book that's coming up, so you're just going to have to read the book.
That's right.
But I will be talking about how to win an argument every single time, how to be the queen of your household.
Can you give me a hint? Can you give me a hint on how to win an argument every time?
First, yeah, I can, and then you'll probably figure it all out. You really have to understand two things. First of all, you have to understand what an argument really entails. And and in our class, we put the question out there, how to win an argument. And a couple of our class members said, well, it takes two people to argue, so you just don't argue. Well, the truth of the matter is that's not correct. Because even if you're quiet and if you don't respond, you're still speaking volumes. You're still arguing with it.
Yes.
So that's absolutely not true. And silence is not golden.
Mm-mm.
But I do agree that there are some times when you should just shut up, and I do mean it just like that. I'm raw. Sometimes women in particular, we just need to shut up.
We do.
But,
we do.
The other thing is to recognize that your spouse is not your enemy.
Right.
So that's a hint. If you go back and marinate on that, you can probably figure out how to win that argument.
That's right. Okay, that's good. Thank you so much for that hint. Now, the third topic you'll be talking about is how to be the queen in your household.
Well, first of all, in order to be a queen, you have to have a king.
All right now. So
now I'll say this. I give you what you want. You give me what I want. If you want to be treated like a queen, you have to treat your husband like a king.
Right.
And you have to behave like a queen, not a shrew.
That's true. That's right. Well, let me ask you a question because this comes up a lot because I talk to lots of married women all the time. What if the husband's not leading? What if the husband's not going nowhere? What if the husband is not being that king of the household? What does that individual do then?
You know what? And our your speaker previously really hit the nail on the head. And I hate that sometimes people think it's just a generic, canned, without thought answer, but the root of all of the answers that we
Yes, ma'am.
And in life period is prayer.
That's right.
And with the prayer, though, the caveat to praying is you have to believe what you're praying for. You have to have unwavering, I don't care what it looks like, faith in what you're praying for.
Yes, yes. Rooted and grounded, knowing what to pray and how to pray it, and not praying, because I have seen people, they would tell me, well, I just start praying out loud in front of them, telling them that he not nothing, and I'm just praying that he be the king in the house.
No.
No, baby, that's not going to work.
No. No, that'll repel him. That'll repel him. That'll absolutely repel him.
Yes. So,
now, there's a way to do that thing that, you know, you go in your secret closet. Now, I'm going to tell you what I do here in my house. Maybe your listeners might not understand, but my living room is my prayer closet. And I'm a very early riser as a rule. I like to get up, and my husband is too, but sometimes I like to get up even before he does.
Mm-hmm.
I have a rug that I have anointed for my prayers because I get on my face for prayer. You got to turn that plate over, and you have got to consecrate yourself. If you're going to be a joyfully ever after wife, you are going to have to be a consecrated wife. That means you're going to have to do some praying. You're going to have to do some fasting. You're going to have to stay in that word, you know, just going to church on Sunday and opening to the scripture that the preacher
called
and going back home, and you don't look at that Bible anymore that week.
That's right.
You're not building up your faith. You've got to be saturated in that faith.
Yeah, yeah. And we have so much power. We don't even realize the power that we have. And the power is not between our legs, because so many people say, though, you got so much power and the power is between your legs. That's not the power. The power is in prayer. The power is calling on God, because I have seen situations and been in rough situations, not saying a word, but just praying. Mm-hmm. And then you could just see it be manifested right before your very eyes.
I know I have.
Attitudes turned around. You know, we have power. We don't tap into it,
You know what
though.
Else is very powerful that women don't like, and I'll be teaching on Saturday, is the S word. S meaning submission.
They don't like
that word, but let me tell you, if you are a woman who knows how to submit to your husband as unto the Lord, baby, you got some power then.
Yeah, you do. And then they submit as well, though.
They do.
It's twofold. Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Okay, and that last nugget is how to have peace with not-so-peaceful in-laws, exes, and others. Talk about that.
That's a tricky one because, it, you know, peace doesn't always mean that we're going to, you know, celebrate holidays and birthdays and graduations together. Peace just means that we learn how to get along. You have to study that person. You have to have a relationship with those people. You know, with mothers-in-law, a lot of times you're taking away her source of income. You're taking away the individual who will, you know, paint a fence or fix a doorbell at a drop of a hat. Former wives are often, but not always, a challenge no matter what if there are children involved. I almost want to say you have to get to know your enemy, but the key is to, again, like I was saying about our spouses, you know, flesh and blood is not who our enemies are. They are it's not the carnal flesh and blood that is our enemy. It is the spirit, and we have to learn how to recognize the spirit from which these people come from. And also, we have to recognize what their fear is, because most of the time they're operating in fear that you're taking something away from them.
That's right.
So we have
to
recognize where it is that they're coming from. Now, some people, the truth of the matter is they are just not nice people, and there's nothing you can do that's
going
to.
And they just don't like you. They just don't like you.
They don't like you. They want to be
it
you.
It is what
they're
it
mad
is.
Because you're in a position that no one else on earth is in. And even, you know, even the children sometimes, when there are children brought into the relationship, it's a matter of learning how to recognize where they're coming from and how to recognize how to deal with them. But the key is in your household to come to an agreement with your husband. It has to be an agreement with your husband on what the boundaries are going to be with those relationships. And
right,
it might just be that you have to see your mama at her house because she's not going to disrespect me and mine. I will certainly respect her, but she's not going to disrespect me and mine. Your children are welcome. Your children are my children as long as we can respect each other. They don't have to call me mama and, you know, so on and so forth. It depends. It all depends because a lot of the times it's all depending upon, with children, for example, what's going on in, you know, the other home. Because a lot of times, let's face it, it's not very comfortable.
Pleasant.
And
you don't know what's being said.
You have to train the children how to teach you. You've got to have your husband backing you up, though.
That's right. You are correct. Now, Venus, talk to me about how they can sign up, how they can connect with you, because you have a book coming out within the near future, and it is geared towards married women and marriage. But how can they connect with you, and if they're in that Detroit area, sign up, register, and come on out on Saturday?
Okay. If they want to come out on Saturday, they'll need to register at the door. I have shut off registration because I'm preparing for these women. Even as far as food, they'll just have to understand at lunchtime they're going to be on their own for lunch. I will not turn anyone away at the door, but they do need to understand that I can have materials, extra materials, but I'm not going to have extra food. So, because I am serving lunch. They can go to my website, which is my name, .com, VenusMasonTheist.com, and there is a tab there for events. And under the events tab, that will be the first one that pops up, and they can go there for information as to where to come, which is Greater Grace Temple, 23500 West 7 Mile Road in Detroit, and that's at 10:30. And by the way, I am starting on time because we have a lot to cover,
right.
to cover. So I'm not going to wait around. If it's me and one other sister, bam, we're going at it.
I know that's right. I know you're right. Well, Venus, when's the book coming out, the next book for married women?
It's going to be out by the very, very early part of the second quarter next year, so around April, around April 7th.
Wonderful.
I'm massaging that. April, I'm going to give you a month, but I'm not going to give you the day just yet. April 7th-ish of 2013.
All right. Well, April it is. April it is. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Venus. You're going to be back with us most likely next month because you're going to be here in town for the Writer's Workshop. Yeah, just give us a little bit. Just give us a little nugget of what we can look forward to on December 28th for the Aspiring Writer's Workshop.
Well, we're going to be talking about how to overcome writer's block. We're going to talk about self-publishing. We're going to talk about the business aspect of being an author. I call it authorpreneurship.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be talking about those things. We're going to be talking about discovering when your peak time is for writing because, you know, you can't just necessarily sit down and start writing after you've gotten home from work.
Mm-mm.
Well, if you're home all day like I am, believe it or not, even though I'm home all day, during the day is not my peak time for writing. As I was mentioning before, I'm a very early riser, so my peak time is actually between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m.
Yeah, I can agree. I definitely can agree. Yeah.
Good for me.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, listeners, y'all have heard the one and the only Venus Mason Theist, wonderful woman of God that is adamant and an advocate for married women. She is an author by her own right, and she's going to be in the Richmond area, but she's going to be in Detroit, Michigan, where she lives in Detroit, but she's going to be teaching this for married only event on Saturday. So connect with her. Go to her website address, Venus Mason Theist, and find out some more information. Venus, any last words?
The last words is to just be encouraged. Believe what it is that you're praying for in all things and give God your best.
Amen. Amen. All right, listeners, thanks so much for hanging in with us. We thank you so much for dialing in and calling in those that are on the actual switchboard and those that were in the chat room earlier. We appreciate them so very much. And we appreciate Carla Allen that was on the line, the author of Conversations of a Watchman. Prayers to Frame Your Prophetic Destiny. Awesome book. Connect with her. Purchase that book. Go to Amazon and download it. She does have it on Kindle and paperback. And connect with our second guest, Venus Mason Theus. You will not be disappointed. All right. Well, we just want to say thank you so much for joining us once again. You could have been anywhere on the internet or on the phone, but you decided to be with us. So we say thank you. Connect with us online at Breathe Again on Twitter, Facebook.com/BreatheAgainMag, and on our website. Go online, read an encouraging article. If you have a powerful testimony, send it to us. We'll go ahead and post it on our site as well. That's BreatheAgainMagazine.org. All right, well, God bless you, and I never, ever say goodbye. I'll always say until next time. God bless you, and have a wonderful evening.